It is rare when we get to say we're going to talk to the greatest player at his position in the history of the National Football League. But that's what most people think he was, the greatest guard in the history of the game, Hall of Famer, and Patriots great John Hanna's with us. It's good to see you.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, you know, athletes and has-beens.
Notice I put athlete first, though, John. I was telling you, we had Logan Mankins in here earlier, and he comes in every Friday. Seems like a real nice young man.
Great guy.
And he was talking about, you know, he's had the opportunity to talk with you. He plays the position you played.
Yep.
Do you see a little of John Hanna when you watch Logan Mankins play?
Oh, there's no question about it. I think, you know, he's got a sense of tenacity about him and a little bit of, I want to knock somebody else's block off, which, you know, I think is great. Not many offensive linemen have that attitude. It's kind of like being a defensive player on offense, where you start actually take the play to the defensive guy instead of the other way around, which is, you know, it's odd for most defensive linemen. They're not used to that when somebody will come off and tack them and just knock them, you know, hit them in the mouth. And, you know, it's they don't know how to handle it. And if he can, you know, as he learns and grows and understands to where he can keep that tenacity and aggressiveness going, but yet maintain the angles so that when he does overcommit, you know, it does not the real takeaway play where he bangs up, he'll be fine. And he's still learning that a little bit. He's learning the angles a little bit better every time he goes out there. And you see him, I see him develop and getting better and better.
Now, we talked to him about turning that switch on for the games. He's a pretty laid-back guy, mild-mannered guy. When the games start, he's not. What did you do to get yourself ready for the game? Where did you go?
I don't know where I went, but people kicked me out of the house on Friday.
That early, huh?
It was Friday night, and my wife's ready to get out rid of me, man, I'm telling you. And everybody did, you know, on Saturday – before we had to report to the hotel, because we didn't, you know, we didn't stay at home. We had to report in. You know, everybody just go shopping or do something. But I guess I just get in my head and I start. I usually played the game three or four times in my head. You know, I'd go field position and, you know, I'd sit on the field and I'd see the guy in front of me. You know, I'd call a play and I'd see what he would do and I'd see me doing what I needed to do against him. And it was a whole visualization process. And I would play that game three or four times. And by, you know, Sunday morning, you know, I was fit to be tied. I was like, you know, have you ever seen those rodeo with a bull in that little chute? I wanted somebody to open that door and let me loose.
Now, we've heard stories that folks didn't even like dressing near you in the locker room.
No, the only guy that got ready kind of like I did was, especially the latter part of my career, was Ronnie LaPette. And they put him next to me, and he and I think, scared everybody. but, you know, we both had to get ready the same way. They put me in a corner and gave me a corner locker. And, you know, I was able to get my stool inside that corner and kind of create a little room for myself and kind of go into my own little world and, you know, do what I needed to do to get ready. And, you know, it was just the way I had to do it to play. I mean, that's the only way I knew to be able to perform at the level I wanted to perform at.
Michael.
I was going to say, you were telling us off the air just the role of a guard.
Yeah.
If you got a good tackle and if you got a good center, the role of a guard is what?
Basically, it's a bulldozer. I mean, guards typically don't have the feet that a tackle has. I mean, it's a different body type. It's a little longer legs, or a little shorter legs, longer torso guy. Usually has long arms compared to the rest of his body, so that helps him with the pass protection. But his job is to get underneath the guy and lift him up and push him back. It's to clear a path for the quarterback or for the running back. So if you've got a tackle, can create a lane, you got a center that can turn an array, then that guard comes off and just clears it. You know, he's the guy, especially if you can get a guy with a good attack mode mindset, like Logan, now you can just create that little gap, and whoever's in front of him, you just run right behind his butt, and wherever the other guy wants to go, you know, out of the way, you know, the back just cuts the other way, and allow Logan just to clear it out. Just let him push. And it's like just, you know, it's bulldozing trees through a forest. You know, that bulldozer doesn't always go the way you want it to, but it keeps knocking down those trees. And that's what you got to do.
Mike Haynes played for the Patriots and is a great player in the Hall of Fame, but was not a Patriots Hall of Famer the way you were.
All right.
Finally, you got to be joined in the Hall of Fame by another Patriots Hall of Famer this summer.
Yep.
What'd you think of Andre Tippett's induction?
Long overdue. Long overdue. You know, I am so glad that Andre played for us, because of any guy I've ever been on a football field, he was one of those guys that would have intimidated me had I been in front. I really think he not you know, but you'd really fear him. He would be like the Randy White, the Buck Buchanan, the Alan Page, he was that caliber player. You know, I respected LT, but I didn't fear him because I knew he couldn't hurt me because he wasn't that kind of a tough ball player. I mean, he'd make sacks and on quarterbacks and running backs, but heck, anybody can do that. But, you know, for an offensive lineman, it takes a different kind of a person to be scared of somebody or be respecting that way. And he was one of those guys. You knew he could hurt you. And I think he was long overdue in getting into the Hall of Fame.
Now, speaking of Hall of Fame, the Patriots have a Hall of Fame down here. They have all kinds of stuff down here.
Yeah,
what have you seen?
Well, you know, the funny thing is what I really enjoyed, they had about six or seven little podiums up there, and they had all the Hall of Fame inductees for the Patriots. And you could go in there and you could get their stats and all this stuff, and you watch highlight films. And it was awful. You know, it was fun to go back and watch Geno and D and all, you know, Hunt and all these guys. And, you know, I was expecting to see some black and white film, but they must have had colorization or something because, you know, Geno's films were even in color. So, you know, that's hard to believe that they had color films back in those days.
Hope he's listening to you. The Hall at Patriot Place opened yesterday. They had the big ribbon cutting. You were there. Tip was there. Mr. Kraft was there. People got finally the chance to see it. I understand that some of the interactive exhibits are unbelievable, like when you're watching – Adam Vinatieri kicked the field goal in the snow.
I was watching the kids do that, you know, and watching that. And then there's another one where the kids actually go and kick the field goal. And it was really funny watching them kick that ball. And, you know, it would portray the football going through and whether it went through the post. And it was unbelievable. And there's a place where you can, like, get down in a stance and you time your – when it says go and you get your hands on, on the spots and it times your reaction time doing that. And – oh, there's a lot of great exhibits. It's a fun thing. And then, you know, for me, too, I mean, one of the greatest things that I saw there, and I'm going to maybe get a little teary-eyed here, but, you know, right when you first come in the door, there's a big picture of Daryl Stingley right in the front. And of all the people that you would think of that have ever sacrificed for this team in its history, Daryl Stingley probably sacrificed more than anybody could ever expect.
I never had the privilege of knowing Daryl except when he was in the chair.
Yeah.
That when I met him. But to be able to see him as a Patriot football player would be a real thrill.
You can't Daryl was just coming into his own. I mean, he was a great human being, just a fun guy to be around. One of these inspiring, funny, encouraging type guys. And he was really fun to be around because he could do Stevie Wonder like Stevie Wonder. Seriously, you'd go to we'd go to these bars and he'd start singing Stevie Wonder and he'd go through the motions and everything. And it was, I swear, people thought it was Stevie Wonder. You know, it was, but you get him on the football field and I tell you, he could catch a ball, he could fly, and he was not afraid to go across the middle, and he could block. And he was getting better and better, and he was just a great, great asset to this team. And he was just a real positive role model.
What's it do for you? I mean, if you're a part of this franchise beginning in the early 1970s, and then to look in 2008 and see that they're remembering all this stuff, and they're celebrating all the things that you experienced. I mean, what's that like for you? That's got to be pretty.
Oh, it's great, Michael. I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, when you think about it, it's kind of like we were talking about before I actually came on the air. It was previously there was a vision for this team for the owners to make money. And they did make money, and they did it by building up ticket sales to a certain level and then trading away payroll. They got rid of Leon. They got rid of Mike Haynes. They got rid of Tim Fox. They got rid of basically to cut payroll and increase their profit margins. So, you know, that was their vision. That was their vision to make money. The Crafts, on the other hand, came in as fans first. And Mr. Kraft has always said, right off the bat, you know, I was a fan right from the beginning. I always have been, always will be. So his vision was different. I want to win champions and become champions and then make money. So all of a sudden now you see them being winning these championships and making these championships, but yet at the same time, have you seen the city? There's an actual city now that is built around this stadium. I mean, I can see people living here, you know, yeah, having condos going up and residentials. And I mean, it's a regular city now, all built on this one franchise because they are champions. And that's a vision. And that was Bob Kraft's vision. And, you know, what he also realized, and I think maybe what he has done, is that, you know, when he was a fan, he saw certain individuals that had similar visions of being champions like he did, like he wanted. And he's paying homage to them because, in a way, I think that some of those guys may have influenced him to buy this team.
You think back to the days when you'd put your equipment on and get in your car and drive down to the Rentham Stadium to practice.
Can you believe that?
I mean, that's what
it was about. Going
to drive to practice.
That's what every day was here.
In your uniform. Then you'd get your old sweaty stuff after practice, and you'd go drive back to the stadium. I mean, it was just, you can't believe what it was like. When I came here, our training room was about the size of this studio room we're in now, which is not very large. And we had two taping tables, a tub, one of those whirlpool tubs. We had a hydroculator pads, and we had an ice machine. And that was it. That's all we had. To go to a weight room, we actually joined Workout Plus, which is a workout up in Dedham, so we could go lift weights. They had no weights here.
Football team without weights.
I mean, you can't believe what it was like. Our first home game, our water didn't work, so we had to actually go and use outdoor porta-johns to use the bathroom before the game in halftime, and then we couldn't even take a shower after the game. I mean, it was disastrous, you know. When I came here from the University of Alabama, I was totally shocked. I could not believe this was a football team. My high school had better facilities than this place. And we had more fans also. I can remember the set going and having an interview, and they said, "John, what's it going to be like to play in front of 55,000 people?" And I said, "Well, I won't be too disappointed." You know, because I'm used to playing in front of 90,000 people in the SEC every week. You know, they had 92,000, 94,000 people in an A-Day game 2 years ago. Yeah. And turn 20,000 people away, you know. So, it was long. It was, man. See this is how football is supposed to be played. This is the kind of atmosphere that's got to be. This is the kind of excitement that you need. This is football, and it's all because Mr. Kraft had that vision.
The Hall at Patriot Place will be open to the public starting Monday. You can get a chance to go in and see exhibits about John and all the great Patriots, Nelly and Gino and everybody. It was fun talking football with you.
No,
thanks for coming
I enjoyed
by.
It. Thanks for having me on, and it was great seeing you, Dale.
Good
Mike,
to see you again.
It.
Thank you, John.
John Hanna joining us here on Sports Radio WEEI.